Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Upside.com. If you're a business traveler and you bundle your hotel and your flight together, you save a bunch at Upside.com, but you also get a big gift card as well when you use our code BIZTRIP, B-I-Z-T-R-I-P. Check it out for yourself, Upside.com. Use our code BIZTRIP. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details.
There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Our phone number, 855-853-4802, to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Email me your audio file, tony@realghoststoriesonline.com, or interact with us on social media. Respond to the stories. Give your insight, your 2 cents. All over Facebook, just search Real Ghost Stories Online. Twitter at Ghost Story Radio, Instagram at Ghost Podcast, and Snapchat at Ghost Podcast. So lots of ways to interact with us on social media. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
Hi, and how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I am lovely. I had a tick earlier.
I know. You shared.
I checked myself for ticks.
This one wasn't hiding in a bad spot.
You want to bet?
I know where it was.
How do you know where it was?
You told me where it was.
Damn it. Didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were, me and Harp were out playing at a playground, and I just kind of felt like this itchy thing on kind of like my backside, like lower back. And I just reached around, you know, and thought, oh, what is it? I was like, what is this? Is it? At first, I thought it was like, this is going to sound gross, but it, like a scab or something, because it was like, it was coming off, but It was like kind of attached.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see it because it was on my back. And maybe I just, you know, had a, you know, mark or something. I didn't realize, and this is just coming off. And then I just yanked it off, fully expecting a nice big chunk of flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. It was a tick.
I think that's what he was expecting, too.
A little tick.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think he was expecting? A big old chunk of flesh?
Yeah.
Oh, like to come off with him?
No, I mean, that's what ticks want, is a big old chunk of
flesh.
Yeah.
So when they latch on and you rip them off, because I know you're normally supposed to kind of use like tweezers or something,
yeah,
right?
To make sure you get the head so it doesn't regrow another body.
Oh, it regrows another body?
It can.
Oh, jeez.
That's why you want to make sure you get the head.
So could the head be like lodged in my back right now?
It could be growing another body right now.
That's like some weird zombie shit right there.
It's earthworm kind of stuff, you know?
Well, during this call, I'm gonna have you look over my back.
Oh, that's gross.
And make sure that there's not a head growing in me.
I'm not
going
to be
me.
Able to tell. I mean, they're so small.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you, like, squeeze it? Maybe get a little pus out or a head?
I don't know.
It'll pop out of my back? This is sounding really horribly gross.
It is. It's very gross.
It's alien shit here. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Well, this is creepy because I didn't realize that you could have, like, its head still living in you.
Yeah, you want to make sure you get the head.
Jesus. I can't really see back there, so. We'll have the latest on what's growing in my back after this call. Hi.
Hi, my name is Lauren Lopez. I love your podcast. I'm in Southern California, so I have an interesting story about the RMS Queen Mary. For my birthday, my boyfriend, he got me, we got a hotel there, and he took me to Dark Harbor, as well as we were going to spend the next day, that Sunday, on the ship. So we had a great time. We went to Sir Winston's, we went to Dark Harbor, and we were staying on B deck, which is actually the most haunted deck on the ship. So after Dark Harbor, we were kind of tired. We wanted to explore the ship until like the late hours of the morning. And in the end, it was midnight, and I was like, maybe we should probably call it a night. Since the ship was closed, we asked an attendant to help us get back on the ship, and he actually told us to go through another deck, which is actually closed off to the public, which is, I think, around where the second class individuals stayed back in the day. So it was a little creepy since we were the only ones walking around, but in the end, we were able to find our room, and we were getting ready for bed. So when I got ready for that bed, I put my my chair facing me so I can lay my dress and my nice shoes down, since we were at a really nice dinner. So we fall asleep, and automatically I wake up at 3 a.m, which is automatically a horrible sign. And I just did not sleep well the rest of the night, and I was like, oh God, this is really uncomfortable. I just do not feel right in this room. So just in and out of sleep for hours, I was awake almost every hour on the hour. So one time I wake up and I actually see someone sitting in the chair. And I never had an experience like this before. You know, I usually kind of shy away from it, but I was just like, this isn't happening. So whatever shadow that was sitting in the chair stood up and had his arms crossed and folded, and he was staring down at me. This individual had, you know, a white shirt that was folded up to his elbows, suspenders, and a hat on, kind of like a beret-style looking hat. So by then, I was terrified, and I just was uncomfortable in that room. So I was awake until 7:30, 8 a.m, didn't sleep, and then my boyfriend says, oh, hey, let's go explore the rest of the ship. So I was like, oh, okay, great. So we're walking around, and he actually got uncomfortable vibes around B340. I didn't really feel it. I didn't really want to go in after my experience the night before, so I was like, let's just continue walking around when there's more people. So we're walking around, and then towards the ship, the part of the ship where the engine room is, there's like a little museum, so we walked around there, and then we started going down into the engine room. So to go down into the engine room, there's kind of two floors that have escalators. So by the time I got down to the second part of the escalators, I just felt like something was following me, and I was super uncomfortable. And then I really felt it right by this door, and I was just like, okay, I'm done. I'm done with my experiences. So my boyfriend knew I was uncomfortable, and then I finally snapped at him. I said, I'm done. I will see you at the promenade deck. I did not want to come down here. I was just super uncomfortable, and I just snapped at him. So finally, we went up to the promenade deck, and I knew that we had the haunted encounters tour, and I said, I'm done. I'm not going on that tour, as we have to go back down in the engine room. So it took him roughly 2 hours to convince me to go on this tour. And I didn't know any history about the ship, but I guess where I felt super uncomfortable was where that engineer died through the watertight door on door 13, which was very, very scary. But I'm happy that at least I knew, okay, there was an answer why I felt uncomfortable. In the end, I would say the scariest thing is we went back on the ship later on, a few years later, and my boyfriend, well, now fiance, had an EMF reader, and the scariest thing was he went to the B340 room, didn't really receive a lot of paranormal activity on his EMF reader, but we went to the room that we initially stayed at, and it was red hot. It was just high spikes, and it had very high readings. So, you know, it could have been a dream, it could have been real, but I would say it's up for you to discuss. I do have other, you know, encounters on the Queen Mary, but I thought I'd share those stories with you. And I hope you have a good rest of your day. Thank you.
Can't wait to go and stay the night.
Yeah, all by yourself.
Hey, it'll be fun.
You and your tick.
Which, by the way, we've learned during that call that Jenny was spreading fake news.
I'm sorry. I was not trying to spread fake news or alternative facts. I was just always told that it would regrow a body, and now I know that is a myth. So we can all rest assured that ticks won't regrow a body.
They're not like zombie-ish creatures.
Nope.
That...
But it can still spread diseases.
Sure. But it doesn't it say like if it's like head or something is stuck there that it just dies or
it's dead. It just can, you know, kind of get red and upset like a splinter.
But
it's not going to regrow a body.
Well, the fact when I ripped him out, he was still alive and walking around. Or do they not need a head to walk around?
I don't know.
Because it would be my thinking that if his head was stuck in my back, he's not going for a walk around the playground. But when I ripped him out and threw him on the ground, he was still, yeah, I'm going to go over here and make a sandcastle.
Did you go set him on the slide for some poor unsuspecting child?
I did.
Suddenly get a tick in their diaper?
It was kind of funny because there actually was caution tape all around the playground today.
I bet they're staining it.
They were. That's what it was. And it was dry, so I wasn't afraid. My other thought was maybe there's like a pack of anacondas up on the slide or something. I thought, eh, we'll take a chance.
Okay.
Kids learn. But I know I did see it. And it was fresh paint or stain or whatever they did. So like, okay, well, that's good to know. Not because there was a tick on the playground and they covered the thing in caution tape, but it did cross my mind. I thought maybe they realized there's like a tick infestation and they wrapped it in caution tape.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
People may do that, but there you go. Well, I'm glad to know. I'm glad to know that there's not going to be a foreign being growing out of my back.
I think that's the thing that's freaked you out the most that's happened on the show in a long time.
It is. That really is kind of a freaky idea. Where did you learn that?
I'd rather not say.
Okay.
I think you and I both know.
The source of all misinformation.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, you know, there's a lot of folks who listen to our show when they are traveling, and that's great. I'm glad we can be a little bit of an escape from some of the nightmares that can take place when you're out traveling, whether that be, you know, layovers or whatnot. We greatly appreciate you carrying us with you. Got another way for you to make travel a little bit easier. And that is with our friends over at Upside.com. If you're a business traveler, great way to save money. You bundle your hotel and your flight together, and you not only save money, but they also give you gift cards. Yes, this is pretty cool. Every time you buy a trip at Upside.com, save a ton of money, get an Amazon gift card worth $100, $200, even $300 every time. The way they do it, it's really clever. They bundle all of it together. It saves you money, and it gets you something, an Amazon gift card. If you haven't realized this yet, Amazon does now sell more than books. So you can get a lot of things there. If you're a frequent business traveler, your company saves money, they'll love you for that. And go, hey, look what I found. And then you still get all the miles as well, and you get the gift card. You'd be crazy not to check this thing out. And check it out when you use our code, BizTrip. You are guaranteed to get at least a $100 Amazon gift card on your first trip. Our code is BizTrip, B-I-Z-T-R-I-P. Get you at least a $100 Amazon gift card absolutely free. How could you not do it? It's a no-brainer. Save big on travel and get a big gift card every trip. Check it out, Upside.com. Upside.com. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jen. This is Nick again from the horrible state of Arizona. No, I like it. So I'm calling you guys again. I just got through speaking with a coworker of mine, and we just, you know, spent the last, like, hour pretty much talking about the paranormal, and he said he was a Wiccan. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I'm not sure. I don't know really what that is. I've heard the term before. I don't know if that's like a religion or a following or what have you. But I know there are people out there that claim to be that. So he was giving me his perspective of, you know, the afterlife and paranormal stuff, like spirits and shadow people, you know. And I told him some of my experiences, and He laid out what those meant to him personally, what he's dealt with, and it's some pretty interesting stuff. He said some of the things or shadow people or entities that I've encountered are of the higher level of entities. And he said there's like three levels that he's dealt with, 1, 2, and 3, and 3 being, you know, the highest. And he said some of the ones that I've met were of number 3, which is kind of terrifying because I've laid out stories to him and, you know, he told me, this is the, all right, so example, I called in before Christmas about my son, me and I'm kind of in this room, and I'm holding him. My son is only 9 months old right now, and so it's impossible for him to talk in, you know, perfect English, you know, he's still doing the baby stuff. So he just looks at me and talks to me, and he's like, Dad, can I be Jaden now? And Jaden is his name. And I'm like, sure, baby, you can be Jaden, yeah. And that was it of that. And, he told me there's these shapeshifters out there. But that was really cool. I'm still, like, on that. I'm still, like, excited from the conversations. And I just had to call because of that reason. But a reason, I guess, meat and potatoes of this call was I deliver the papers. So I deliver the papers every day, no weekends, no breaks, no anything, every day. And this could be, like, due to me being tired lately. I am a full-time student. I am a full-time parent now. And other different responsibilities that I'm not too used to. I'm still getting used to it. But I was driving down, and for, like, the last week, it's just been happening this week. In this particular point of my route, it's kind of like a newer subdivision. So there's houses, some are built, and then there's spaces where houses should be, but there's none. Like, I guess they never got around to building the rest of them. But nevertheless, I have to go down the street, and it kind of branches off to a T. The right side leads to like 2 or 3 houses, and then it cuts off. Like, they were gonna build more road, but they didn't get to it. So it's just, it's literally cut off, and there's just desert out there. And then the left goes down a little bit more. I guess it goes to the other sections. I don't go down there. So I head to the right, and there's a total of like 2 or 3 streetlights there to illuminate the area. Well, like I said before in previous calls, I think Jenny calls it the slider effect. I think that's what it's called. I have those occurrences all the time. Lights flicker, cut on, cut off. It happens all the time to me. So I get down one day, the first day, I notice one of the lights are off. And I'm like, okay, usually that light's off, no worries. Next day, that light was on, but the other light was off. And I'm like, okay, interesting. Third day, I get there, both lights are off. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. That doesn't happen. Then the next day after that, I kid you not, I'm driving down there, and, you know, I'm making sure that I'm not hitting any animals, no stray dogs are running across the road or anything, and I make the right, throw my paper to the house, and proceed to make my U-turn, because remember, I said the road cuts off, there's nothing after that, so I have to make a U-turn to get back, and then circle back around, and then continue my route. So when I turn around, I'm halfway doing the 3-point turn, and I look over, and there's, like, cars usually parked on the side of the street. I don't know why people do that. They have driveways that can put the car there. Anyway, behind the cars, I see something kind of dart from where the houses were towards the, you know, to the road that I have to get back on, or the street that I have to get back on, and I saw it barely. It was kind of like a haphazardly glance, and I looked at it, and it looked to me like something on fours, like all fours running. But it didn't look like a dog. It didn't look like a jackrabbit. It didn't look like anything. It just looked like a person, like literally on all fours, just kind of galloping to the fields. And so I'm like, did I just see that? And so I turn my brights on, and I kind of turn the car so I can skim over, you know, as much as I could. And I didn't see anything. I didn't see any dogs. It just kind of vanished. So I thought that was weird. But that's all my experiences for now. Hopefully I can call in later with more experiences. I would love to hear what you guys think. Still enjoy the show. Still got to become an EPP. I'm going to get on that. anyway, thank you guys for putting one of my other calls on. It was great. I couldn't listen to it, though, because I hate the sound of my voice. So I'm going to skip. If this one gets put on, I'm going to skip past it and just hear what you guys say. Thank you very much, guys. Have a good one.
I'm starting to think maybe Nick is a little bit of not a haunted person, but he just kind of has that timing where stuff likes to show up when he's around.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Can you be like a not an empath type person and just be haunted, just have stuff where it's just kind of even more confusing because you're not seeing it that frequently, but you're seeing enough of it?
Probably. I'm guessing you can.
Yeah. I wonder if he's sensitive? Or do you think he's just, these are just such obvious things where it's like anybody would see this?
You know, I don't know. And the reason I say I don't know, because I haven't really thought about whether or not I classify like I'm a scientist. If I put people that have the slider effect into a group of sensitive people or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of them just have that happen, but don't really notice anything else.
Sure.
So could it be that he has both? Sure. But I don't know.
I wonder if you can gain like more sensibility to the dead and the ghosts if you have a tick head that grows in you. The
sensitivity. Not sensibility. You said sensibility.
No, I said sensitivity, didn't
I? No, you said sensibility.
You sure?
You can go back if you want.
You want to bet a corn nut?
Okay, I'll bet you a corn nut that you were wrong.
Okay, here we go. And we'll resume. And we're back. And there you go. Jenny.
I get the rest of the corn nuts.
A corn nut. Well, I didn't say the rest of the bag. I said a corn nut.
At least a handful.
A single kernel. That's the agreement.
Making a pile.
That's nice. They are delicious.
There you go.
I'm good. I'm going to start coughing.
Just take the bag.
If I eat corn on the show, I'm going to start coughing and it's going to be bad.
It won't be worse than the tick
ticks
that you
gonna,
talked about.
Head's going to shoot out of my back. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's continue on and go to another caller. Close this file, and then here we go. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. It's Robin. I'm calling you from Florida. I just wanted to tell you that I really enjoy the show. I drive like 2 hours a day to get to and from work, and it's just a blast to listen to the stories on the way there and on the way home. I really enjoy the banter between you and Jenny as much as I enjoy the story. I'm calling in today because people have made many comments in the stories about children and their sensitivity. And I wanted to tell you a couple stories about my grandson. First of all, he's perfect. I'm sure that most grandparents think that about their grandchildren, but he's just a really great kid. And he's 10 now. But the things that took place were when he was much younger. It started when he was a small infant in the first apartment that his parents lived in. And oftentimes when we would go to put him down for the night, he would start to cry. And I mean, like, scream cry. And that wasn't in his character normally. So after a while, it started to bother me, and I made a few jokes to his mom about, you know, it doesn't seem like he really wants to go in that room. And, you know, we're a weird family, and we like spooky things, and it was just kind of a joke. We really didn't take it really seriously. But one night, she put him down for the night, and the next morning, when she got him out of his crib, he had scratches on his back. And he was a very small infant, and there was no way that he could have done this himself. There wasn't anything in the crib. He couldn't have reached back there and done it himself. So it was a little disturbing even to her, but, you know, she kind of blew it off and made mention of it. And not very long after that, they did move from that apartment. And honestly, I was relieved. The next home that they moved into, you know, everything seemed to be fine. He was a toddler up until about 5 years old in that home. But I babysat for them a lot. They were young and hardworking, and I was their primary extra caregiver for him. And I would notice that we would be playing, and he would be doing somersaults down the hallway, and I would count how many he was doing. And but he would always stop right before the two bedroom doors at the end of the hallway. Just like clockwork, he would stop right before those hallways. And I thought it was kind of funny that, you know, well, obviously he doesn't want to be down there between the two dark doorways. And then one night I was babysitting him, and at this time they had another little girl, and we were at their kitchen table. I was preparing something for them to eat, and he pops up with, Nina, your friend is here. And I was, you know, rushing around and entertaining them and thought maybe I had missed someone knocking at the door. And I said, what happened, honey? I said, did someone knock at the door? Is there somebody at the door? And he says, no, Nina, he's right there. And I'm like, what? Did somebody come in while my back was turned? And I looked around and there was no one in the kitchen. He goes, no, Nina, he's right there, right behind you. And of course, there was no one there. I made mention of that to his parents and see what if he says anything more. And because I've never had an experience myself, but I certainly would believe what he was telling me. But on another occasion, he was snuggling with his mom in the bed early in the morning. His dad had already gone to work. And he looked at my daughter and he said, Mommy, why is that man over there? And my daughter thought he was referring to a gag that my her uncle had placed up a zombie head on a post outside of her bedroom window. I thought you were aware, as a gag because it was around Halloween, trying to scare her. Well, it was really funny, and she just left it there. So she thought that Britton had seen the head in the window. And she said, "Well, honey, don't worry about that. That's just a joke that Uncle D was playing on Mommy. It's nothing to worry about." And he said, "No, Mommy. I mean, that man there," and he pointed at the corner of the room, and there was no one there. He never did bring up any other people we couldn't see, but a few, you know, he's 10 now, and we were watching The Sixth Sense. He wanted to watch The Sixth Sense a few weeks ago, and he looked at me at the end of the movie, and he said, Nina, I think I might have had that. So, obviously, you know, he doesn't see any people anymore. But I just wanted your guys' take. I know that people say that children are more sensitive, but why would he see things between the ages of birth and 6 years old, and then all of a sudden it stopped? So they did move to a new house, and he hadn't seen anything in that house since he was there. Perhaps it was the home they were in, but still, it's just very curious to me how all of a sudden, you know, you stop seeing things. Hope you enjoyed my story. Honestly, I hope I never have any more to tell you about him. But I just really wanted to say thanks a lot for the forum and a place where people can call and feel comfortable and not feel like someone's going to think they're crazy for telling your tale. Have a great day, and God bless you guys.
That is very common for small kids, you know, mm-hmm. like the age she described, to be sensitive and see things. And I think part of that is grown-ups write that off as imaginary friends, but sometimes it's more alarming, like in this case. But I think, in my opinion, and of course I don't know what that it means anything, but I'm wondering if it disappears when kids start school because they suddenly become, I don't know, being around other kids and seeing what,
just being around more people in an environment, and then it's like,
yeah.
It's like it would stand out way more if you're in a shopping mall and no one else is there and suddenly there's one person over there mm-hmm. versus a shopping mall that's filled with people. You're not going to say anything stand out that's ghostly because there's so much movement and so many things.
Now, obviously, that doesn't, you know, necessarily apply at home because it's the same people.
Sure.
But I think that there's some kind of correlation there.
Yeah, I think it's kind of the age thing. I think some people, it shuts off and shuts down and it goes away. And to others, I think it stays for whatever reason. I don't know. That's a funny thing for the grandson to say, I think I had that.
Yeah.
As if it's like a disease.
He gets it, though.
Exactly. I mean, it made sense. Yeah. It'd be interesting to hear more of the basis of that movie if it was, you know, the creator, the writer. You know, if it was based on, you know, a personal experience, a family, or just the, you know, ghostly concept. I mean, it is a ghostly concept, but I wonder if there is like some sort of inspiration mm-hmm. that what was the inspiration for that whole movie? Because it really has been a great point of reference for a lot of people where it's like, yeah, I get that. That's, you know,
right.
That's where I'm coming from. 855-853-4802, the phone number to call into Real Ghost Stories Online and share your real ghost stories with us. And of course, if you're not an EPP yet, you hear people talking about that all the time. You probably wake up with night sweats if you're not one yet, going, I gotta become an EPP. And probably pisses off your family and your pets quite a bit. So how about becoming one? You sign up to be one at ghostpodcast.com. It's $5 a month, or you can sign up for a full year. Get yourself a bunk bed bell when you do that, and you get a month absolutely free. And you can ring the hell out of that bell every time we say bunk bed. Or if you just feel like annoying people, you can do that too.
Yeah.
It's good fun. Ghostpodcast.com. Help keep us on the air and become an EPP extra podcast person. Hi.
Hello, Brucey. My story is pretty short and sweet. Just like a million people, when I was young, I played the Ouija board way too much. And ever since then, weird things had happened to me. I never used to watch a lot of ghost shows or horror movies that would give me any ideas or jog my imagination. So this was very, very unexpected what happened. I was married and I would not, my husband and I were getting separated, and so I would not sleep in the bedroom with him. I felt like something just kind of told me to sleep in the other room and wanted me to sleep in the other room. And at night, I would feel like something came into the room regularly, and it was very comforting when it came into the room. It actually would be what made me go to sleep. This happened for about 2 weeks, maybe a little bit longer. I noticed that my personality was changing. I figured it was everything I was going through. But after about 2 weeks of this happening, I'd wake up in the morning and I would be able to, I would look in the mirror and I just wouldn't look like myself. My eyes would be really, my pupils would be really big, or I just didn't look like myself when I'd look in the mirror, and it scared me, but I figured, you know, maybe I'm not sleeping enough and that's making me look tired or different. Basically, my reflection in the mirror looked scary. It scared me. I didn't recognize myself, but I didn't think anything of it. I had no reason to think it was odd. Finally, one morning, I woke up, and I was getting in the shower. I looked at the mirror, and I noticed that I had a bruise on my right shoulder. So I looked really close to the mirror, and it was not a bruise. It was teeth marks, but it was a small bite, like as if like a baby had full set of teeth had bit me, and that was on my right shoulder. And then, as I looked closer, I noticed that there were scratches on my neck, but not deep scratches. It was like as if somebody had taken the tip of a needle and just kind of pushed and dragged it on my skin, just enough to bring blood to the surface of my skin. And I noticed that it was spelling out a word. It said L-A-M, and then I thought it was an E. And I was like, oh my God, something trying to tell me I'm lame. I just didn't think anything of it, honestly. I figured when I got out of the shower, I might show somebody later, but I was so preoccupied with everything I had going on in my life that I didn't think much of it. So I got in the shower, and I got out, and I tried to look at it again, and it was gone. And this was like a bruised bite mark and almost blood coming through the skin. So it should not have gone away, but it did. It wasn't until 6 years later that I was talking to a demonologist, somebody that through a matter of odd events I ran into, and he said, well, maybe your neck said lamb, L-A-M-B. And I had thought B before, but I never put together lamb and what was happening. And I had never heard of an incubus before. So after that happened, and let me backtrack a little bit. After that bite mark and scratch happened, I stopped being myself completely. I went through a couple years of a downward spiral, and by all accounts, I should be dead. During that time, I would find trinkets, like little crosses or Saint Michael pendants, and I would find them in the most odd places, and all over the place, wherever I was. One time I went to get in my car, and there was a St. Michael pendant just on the ground in the asphalt underneath my car. So, anyway, I got through that time of my life and survived. I actually ended up getting baptized, and I only got baptized because I wanted to make a change in my life. I didn't get baptized because I was thinking that this was anything supernatural. I never put two and two together until years later, like I said. So the point of me sharing this, even though it sounds totally crazy and I don't really open up to anybody about this, is I absolutely do believe in that stuff. And I hope that if something like this was to happen to somebody else, that they would take it seriously and that they would realize right away what was happening and how odd it was, whether they believe it or not, and kind of do something like get baptized or get involved in whatever their higher power is a little closer, and maybe they can avoid some of the other events that happened to me after it. Anyway, thank you so much for your show. My new husband and I listen to it regularly, and we just really appreciate you guys. Thank you. Bye.
At least maybe that'll give somebody an idea of considering what may be going on if they find themselves in a similar situation.
I could see that.
Something to think about.
Helping out quite a bit there, I would think. Thank you for sharing that experience with us here on the program. Hey, we have a bunch of audiobooks to give away of Oscar's book.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar from Dallas, of course, the author of the Zombie Ghost Clown, and many other, the Pig Man story, and he said several.
Yeah.
Very creepy-ass stories, as I like to call them. We have 10 audiobooks that we have codes to give away for through audible.com. And here is what you have to do if you want to be in the drawing to win them. And, of course, it's free to enter. No purchase necessary. It's going to be a deal where you go to iTunes. And whether you listen to our show through iTunes or not, this is where you need to go. And you can do this easily through your computer. You either download iTunes or whatnot to accomplish this. You give us a review on iTunes, and then you email contest at Real Ghost Stories Online with a copy of that review and the username you used, and you're entered to win. It's that simple. We'll pick 10 random people who submitted little reviews for us. Hopefully they're positive on iTunes. And we'll pick 10 people, and I'll be contacting you back via email to give you the code at random. So there you go.
Okay.
So give us the review on iTunes. Then let me know you did that by emailing contest at realghoststoriesonline.com with the review and your name that you put on there. And from all those entries, 10 of you will win a copy of Oscar's audio book. So there
you
go.
It's exciting.
It's cool. So check that out. It's a really, it's cool. And it recounts some of the stories that we've had on the show. And probably, and I know for a fact, not probably, there are also many in there that you have never heard as well. So check that out. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I should have done that like a radio contest where I had like really peppy, upbeat music, you know, almost like, how about you do that? And then I'll talk like a radio person.
I'm not going to do that.
All right, the next 10 people right now randomly entered into the contest. Be great.
Your mom would win.
She probably would.
She's like the queen of radio contests.
When I was a kid, that's what she did all the time. Uh-huh. Half the times I think we went out to eat was because of a radio contest. And I'm not even joking. But, you know, hey, it worked. It was great. And we went to a lot of fun restaurants that, on radio contests. It was funny. When I started working at the radio station, everyone already knew my mom.
Yeah.
They did. Like, is your mom Peggy? Yeah. Are you serious? Oh my God. She tries to win like every contest. So one of her biggest complaints when I started working in radio was she couldn't win the contests anymore, at least on the stations that I worked at. And then shortly after, the other stations across town started putting rules up of like, if your family members work for this station or any radio station, you're not allowed to play our contests.
It's not right.
I don't believe it was, in response to her. I don't think so. She really kind of toned down even in the years leading up to to working in the fine industry of radio. There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. One more caller. Hi.
Hi, guys. I'm listening to your show, and I got to say, I like it. I genuinely do. So the reason for my call is I had a few experiences when I was younger. I'm 29 years old. And in that time, I would say the most alarming thing that ever happened to me was when I was younger. I think I was in the sixth or seventh grade. And I had to pull the old switcheroo on my family. A group of friends and I got together and came up with a plan that we were all going to spend the night at each other's house, or at least that's what we were going to tell our parents. So everybody was expected to be a gone away from home, and we thought we could go out into this kind of area near our house where these old mill ponds were and, you know, do some camping on our own, have some freedom for the night. And so we got the plan together. We got the stuff together, kind of staged it away from the house so that my friend's mom wouldn't find it. We went over there and grabbed our gear and kind of hiked out to where this was at. Point of fact, this was in Eugene, Oregon, and something that you may be interested in, that's a fact, maybe you could look into it. Multiple young boys have been found drowned in the mill ponds. Before I moved there, two younger boys drowned in the mill pond. And then a couple years after I moved away, I think they were brothers, were also found drowned in the mill pond. But back on point, we decided to camp amidst some blackberry bushes. We were younger, and so fairly easily for us to get into our camping spot. Would have been protected from, you know, most anybody who would want to come out there. And we started a little campfire, and we're sitting there, and as it got darker, just got this kind of sense of foreboding that something was happening. And my friend was the first to notice that there was something in the brush. And we're talking, you know, 8-foot brambles, you know, northwestern blackberry bushes that were reasonably thick, you know, 10, 12 feet thick. So it's not like somebody just traipsed in there, because that would be rather uncomfortable. I make light of the situation because it was really, really alarming. And even to this day, I still can feel the fear of being watched, of a sinister presence out in the brush. And I kind of looked at my friends and I said, I think we need to go. And we didn't extinguish the fire. We didn't grab our things. At that point, it became an all-out panic run for safety. And we crawled through the rabbit warren that we'd come through and ran as fast as we could down DeVos Street in Eugene, which is, you know, at the time was just riddled with potholes, and the pavement was in desperate need of repair, and the half the street lamps didn't work, and all it did was add to the sense of foreboding. And then what caught my attention was that we were being chased. I could hear something behind us. I never turned to look, because in that moment of fear, you're just running. And I came to the point where we hit pavement, and what I heard, and to this day has never left my mind, and I have tried desperately to justify it, was that I heard the sound of not of footsteps. I would like to think that what I heard was wooden-soled shoes on the pavement behind me. And I, to this day, not sure that's what I heard. But we ran. We ran as far, as fast as we could, and we hauled after everybody in the neighborhood who could hear us to come out and help us. And that street just was so dark and sinister that night. And we ran, and we ran. We had a good 5 blocks to go, and I wasn't much of a runner. But something in me just told me that if I stopped, my parents would probably be asking a lot of questions of everyone else's parents about where I went. And we got to the end of the street, and we climbed up the tree in front of my friend's house because we felt that was the safest place to be. And we yelled and yelled. Finally, one of the neighbors opened up the door, and they wound up filing a police report. The police came out. It was, they did a search. They put out the fire we left. We got in a lot of trouble over that. And they looked for somebody who may have come after us. But that whole time, I could hear whatever it was down there moving around. And we never saw it leave. We never saw it come for us. We got up the tree. We heard it. And we never saw it. To this day, I have always been afraid of what it was I heard running behind us. So that's just kind of one of my many stories. I've always kind of theorized that hauntings, in my experience, are not necessarily always tangible. I don't necessarily believe that you see something so much as sense something. It's very much psychological and emotional, and I feel like that would fall into that category because it was very psychological. It was very emotional. There was a deep fear in me, and to this day I can still feel it in my gut, even when I'm thinking of it. And so that's my story. And if you guys, you know, would like to air it or, you know, whatever, I just wanted to share. I love your guys' show, and I hope you guys keep doing your podcast. Great job, guys. Thank you.
Kind of sounds like the plot line to like a 1980s horror, you know, movie, you know, like a Stranger Things, you know, where the kids are out doing this or that. And then they, you know, the campfire and they're running and they're up in a tree and the police are called. And it's like, well, what is it? Is this a murder? Turns out to be some sort of horrible upside down world.
What's worse, knowing what is chasing you or not knowing what is chasing you?
Not knowing.
Think so.
At least you can define it. I mean, you can say that's a crazy person or there's a horrible animal or God knows what, if you don't have the definition.
Yeah.
And your thoughts?
I don't know. I think if you don't know what's chasing you, once it's over, you won't have nightmares about seeing whatever is chasing you.
Mm-hmm.
You won't, your mind won't have an image to put there.
Sure.
But I'm sure he still had nightmares from the experience. It's just, I think for me, being a very visual person, seeing what's chasing me is going to have a lot, I think, more detrimental effect than knowing something's chasing me that I can't see.
Okay, so say it again.
Okay, I'd rather not see what's chasing me. Short answer.
Okay. I wonder if in his mind, if there was, you know, when he replays these things in his head, if it's like, I'm trying to find like, here we go, like there's music like this playing, you know, very 1980s horror attack music going on. It's like, it starts out like this. And then all of a sudden, it's there. And they're taking the campfire and running away from it. And then, what is it? Do you see it?
I don't know.
Where did it go?
I think it's over there.
You need sirens. You do the sirens.
No, I'm not doing the sirens.
Come on, we're playing.
We're not acting out his nightmare.
And that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, Extra Podcast Person. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com for all of that. And it keeps us on the air. We greatly appreciate our EPPs, and thank you if you already are one. If you're not one, please check that out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.